My name is Stefan Noble, and I'm the first author of an editorial discussing the report by Nevedozi et al., who assessed the effect of baseline non-specific interventricular conduction delay and supraventricular arrhythmia on post-TAVR need for permanent pacemaker. They also reported the impact of permanent pacemaker implantation on clinical outcomes at 1 year. They retrospectively analyzed a single center cohort of a tertiary hospital in central Wisconsin in the USA, involving 357 patients who underwent a TAVR between January 2012 and December 2019 using either balloon expandable or self-expanding valves. Their main findings are that pre-TAVR type 2 diabetes mellitus and QRS duration more than 120 milliseconds, regardless of the presence of bundle branch blocks, were predictors of permanent pacemaker need post-TAVR. They also demonstrated a linear association between post-TAVR permanent pacemaker rate for every 20 millisecond prolongation of the QRS duration above 100 milliseconds. Finally, at 1 year, there were more heart failure hospitalization and myocardial infarction in the group requiring a permanent pacemaker. Of course, there are limitations to this report, which are discussed in our editorial. The results also have to be brought into perspective. Indeed, not only does the baseline ECG influence the post-procedural risk of permanent pacemaker need, but also the left ventricular outflow tract anatomy, as well as the type of valve used, and finally, patient and procedural characteristics. In conclusion, pacemaker post-TAVR is related to multifactorial risk. Nevedozi et al. Brought to the body of evidence ECG and clinical findings, but procedural characteristics have at least as much impact on the final need for permanent pacemaker and potentially on the pacing rate. Finally, long-term follow-up and understanding of the impact of long-term stimulation is of utmost importance.